This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Jeff Passan going to join us in just a minute here on the Shell Penzol Performance Line. It's champion versus champion at UFC 254 when Khabib takes on Gaethje. It's coming this Saturday, October 24th, special start time at 2 p.m. Eastern.
He's scared of it, Mike. He's scared.
That was weird. He was afraid to say Justin.
It's written that way. It says Khabib versus Gaethje. It doesn't say Justin there.
I think you're afraid of the Gaethje.
I mean, I am scared of the Gaethje. I got to be honest with you. A lot of people are.
Everyone except Khabib is afraid of the Gaethje.
The Gaethje sounds like something you'd be scared of.
You should be scared of the Gaethje, yes.
Okay, all right. Anyway, it's this Saturday, special start time of 2 p.m. Eastern, only on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. UFC 254 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. It's a good deal. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details. For a chance to win $10,000 plus a virtual meet and greet with the Dan Le Batard Show gang, text Lebatard to 77333. Advance Your Auto and Advance Auto Parts. Limit one entry per day. See AdvanceAutoParts.com for all the details.
Khabib dismantled McGregor in a way that makes me never want to see them fight again. And that's McGregor. Khabib is saying, I want St. Pierre, which is not a fight I want to see. I mean, how old is St. Pierre at this point?
St. Pierre came out of retirement, and it was a bloody bout, and he actually won that last fight. It would be a dream fight, but I think he's still scared of Tony Ferguson. But to Conor McGregor's credit, he did sort of win a round from Khabib, which is more than most people can say, which is why the intrigue. He got in his head in a way, and he got him emotional in a way, and towards the latter part of that fight, McGregor seemed to be making inroads.
St. Pierre is 39 years old.
Toward the latter part of that fight, Khabib was fighting everybody in the crowd.
Yeah, it was insane. I think everybody wants to see it again just because it was one of the more wild UFC fights.
We are going to get to Jeff Passan in a second, but forgiveness, please. Pardon the interruption. Christine, Lisa, you were saying.
And finally, according to singer Phil Collins, his ex-wife, her new male stripper husband and their 3 to 4 heavily armed guards have laid siege to his Miami mansion, threatening, both implicitly and explicitly, to prolong their unlawful occupation of the property through force.
Mike, you don't have to steal the joke. How about you credit the joke? You could credit the joke. You don't have to steal the joke. You don't even want to do it. Okay.
No easy lover.
Okay. Now we've got to go back and get the credit because that's not our joke. It was stolen. Passan's got a song of his own, I've been told. We'll get to him in just a second. What is this song that Chris Cody is telling me about, Stugatz? That Passan has a song about the Rays' hottest hitter. Can this possibly be true?
I have no idea. This is the first I'm hearing of.
Well, Mike Ryan says it's absolutely true, and better than that, he says he's got it.
Every time I hear the name Arozarena, it makes me think of the song Macarena.
Oh, no, Jeff.
There's a guy who hits his name Randy Arozarena. Every time he takes a swing, it is a thing, it's cosa buena. Running around the bases, he's as fast as a hyena. Arozarena. Hi!
Genius.
That is slightly less than genius, but it makes me happy nonetheless. And speaking of people who are slightly less than genius, Stugatz is out here claiming that Luhnow didn't know anything, that Luhnow, it's possible. Go ahead. Ask Jeff Passan the question.
All I said is it's possible that a GM would not know what's going on in his own dugout as it relates to cheating. That's all I said. I'm not saying he didn't know. I'm just saying it's possible that a GM would not know. Is that fair, Jeff?
It's also possible that on the first try, Stugatz, you could pronounce Khabib's last name correctly, but the likelihood of it, not great.
Right. But there's a chance.
No.
There is not even a possibility. So what did you make of what Luhnow was saying yesterday, Jeff? What did you make of how he says, hey, I'm responsible for all the good stuff with the Astros, none of the bad stuff?
Yeah, I thought it was a delightful 37-minute tour de force of self-indulgence, of blaming others for your mistakes, of not taking responsibility, of trying to sound like you're contrite because that's what's going to get you back into the sporting world. But one of two things happened here. Either Jeff Luhnow did not know it was going on and thus was absolutely dreadful at his job, because if you're running baseball operations, your responsibility is to know if there's cheating going on, or he knew and is just lying about it. So either way, it's not a good look.
All right, so can you help me? Because Stugatz has been on the other side, and he's been right for a long time about Kershaw, because the postseason numbers have been bad. But how are we supposed to do the math on him as it specifically relates to how badly he pitched against cheating Astros?
I mean, I think that's got to be part of it. Though let's remember, Kershaw's best World Series start, even including last night when he was really good, was actually against those Astros. Went 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, no walks, 11 strikeouts. So it's not like Kershaw, you know, they were his kryptonite necessarily. He just had that absolutely terrible game in Game 5 when it was that 13-12 monstrosity of a game. And it's one start among, you know, 20-something that he's had in the playoffs. So I think it kind of just mixes in with the overall what you get from Clayton Kershaw in October. You're not quite sure what it's going to be. But, as I was looking last night, Dan, just trying to dig into the numbers, it's interesting what Dave Roberts did. You know, Clayton Kershaw was at only 78 pitches after the sixth inning, and he got yanked. And in years past, if a guy's pitching as well as he has, and is it only 78 pitches, you're like, is this guy going to throw a complete game? And he got yanked. Well, if you look at the seventh inning of his outings in the playoffs, he's had 13 times where he's pitched into the seventh inning. In 7 of them, he gave up 18 runs total. A lot of the awfulness of Clayton Kershaw in October has been in the seventh inning. And so I think whereas you might want to blame
It's third time through the lineup, right? It's not like the magical number of the seventh inning. It's when hitters are getting to see him a third time. Your good hitters are getting to see him a third time.
That's exactly right. And typically speaking, in the postseason, you have better lineups than you do in the regular season. Guys who are going to be more patient, who are going to work you, who are going to make those pitches that much more stressful. And so Dave Roberts's evolution, I think, over the last 2 games has been wondrous to see, and is the sort of thing that's going to put the Dodgers in a position to win their first World Series since 1988. In years past, in Game 7 of the NLCS, Dave Roberts would have said, you know, Julio Urias, you gave us a great seventh inning. I'm going to go to Kershaw for the eighth and Kenley Jansen for the ninth. Not this time. He stuck with Urias for the seventh, eighth, and ninth. The guy was brilliant. He shut down the Atlanta Braves, and the Dodgers are in the World Series now because of it. And last night with Kershaw, he could have said, I'm going to stick him back out there in the seventh inning, third time through the order. No, didn't do that. Didn't need to. And the Dodgers are up 1-0 now because of it.
Jeff, I asked Tim Kirchen this, and I'm genuinely interested in your opinion here, because I know how great Kershaw is, okay? I love baseball. I know he's one of the great pitchers of all time. But pitchers are judged by how they do in the postseason. So I ask you this. Would you rather have Clayton Kershaw's career or David Wells' career?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would take Clayton Kershaw's. I thought you were going to say, here's a tougher one. Would you rather have Clayton Kershaw's career or Madison Bumgarner's career? You know, Madison Bumgarner is a guy who has been very good during the regular season and otherworldly during the postseason. He's a guy who's won 3 World Series rings, who had one of the great postseason pitching performances of all time against Kansas City in 2014, whose career postseason ERA is minuscule. That's a tougher one. And I think the answer is probably Bumgarner's, because you got the 3 rings and Kershaw still doesn't have one at this point. But we got to remember, the Dodgers are going to be really good for a while now. And as long as Clayton Kershaw is wearing a Dodger uniform, every year he pitches, he's going to have a chance at pitching in the World Series and pitching for a championship.
He can fix this the way LeBron fixed it, the way Michael Jordan fixed it in their earliest parts of their career. I did want to go back for a second, though, and just make sure that I have this correct, because Game 2 of the World Series, it wasn't Game 2, the second game Kershaw pitched of the World Series when it was tied 2-2, Game 5, the one where the Astros were cheating and didn't swing at 51 of his breaking balls, that is remembered on Clayton Kershaw. But why is it not remembered in a meaningful way, the Game 1 you're talking about, where evidently he shut them down even though they were cheating?
You know, it's interesting when you look back, and Kershaw, I think, talked with Tom Verducci about this. And you saw this, I think it was the previous game with Alex Wood, where the Dodgers had multiple signs going on because they were wary of what the Astros were doing. Clayton Kershaw gave a big old bird to multiple signs and said, I'm going to go out there and do my thing. And I think he regrets that, because maybe it's a completely different outcome if he does stick with multiple signs and they try and throw the Astros off the scent of what's coming, and maybe the Astros at that point don't have any idea. They have claimed that they were not doing this during the playoffs, but man, those are some pretty damning numbers that you put right there. And I wonder if Clayton Kershaw's reputation and this narrative that has taken over about who he is in October and how he suddenly transmogrifies into some sort of a completely different person just dissipates based on that one World Series alone. If the Dodgers win the championship in 2017, how much does that change history?
Jeff, the listeners are demanding some elbow. I'm just wondering if you can throw it to the ESPN Daily song you sang as Elmo, because we got to give the credit to ESPN Daily for making this song and putting it together. Can you do that for us, please, so we can play it again?
I mean, I can definitely do that, though I will say Pablo made me do this at the end of the podcast. That is how the podcast walks off. It's me singing a Rosarena in the Elmo song, in the Elmo voice. However, if you'd like me to do it, I mean.
Oh, no, please. No, I'd rather have that. I'd rather have that than what I was asking you to do. Please, if you could sing that same song as Elmo, that would be delightful. Yes.
All right. Here we go. Are you going to give me, like, the Macarena music in the background, or do you want me to just go a cappella?
Very demanding.
A cappella, please. We don't have it. I should have had it, but we're not a prepared show that way.
All right, very good. Here we go.
Okay.
There's a guy who hits his center of the Rosarena. Every time he takes a swing, it is a thing that's gross up Rena. Running around the bases, he's as fast as a hyena.
Thank you. It is. It's really exceptional. Ruins his voice for the whole day. He has to go on Sports Center and break down baseball with his voice cracking because of it.
Don Levitard.
I'm in a state right now between maddening and infuriating.
Stugatz.
All the Texans agree with Stugatz.
Yep, victory.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. If you missed any of the show, you want to do this conversationally, or how do you want to do this?
Yes, conversationally, please, okay. Instead of just the white noise of reading those reads.
Okay.
Guys, have you checked out the Big Suey from
it's
today?
It's good today.
I was actually listening on my way in from work, and wow. I mean, you guys are doing some clever stuff with that Big Suey. I mean, that Brockmire character.
It was uproarious.
Amazing. I wasn't really aware. And the general banter beforehand when you guys were doing toilet humor, but trying to do it smart. I'm a big fan. And you know how I found that podcast, guys? You know how?
I don't know how. How?
I searched the Dan Levitard Show with Stugatz. I subscribed to the feed.
Wow.
And it's the same show that I'm listening to right now. But instead of just the normal two national hours, I get a local hour that's catered to South Florida, but also is kind of wacky, and a Big Suey where you guys actually take more creative hacks I should absolutely implore our audience right now to go out there and subscribe to the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gottsfeed.
You should do that.
Yeah, but I don't want to.
Are you sure you want to do it?
No, not just yet. Okay. Not just yet.
Someday.
I'm close.
Okay.
Someday.
Stu Gotts, how would you explain to the audience, is there a sponsor to that very conversational conversation?
Yeah, very conversational. It's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
How would you explain to the audience who Gil Brandt is? Gil Brandt.
He's a Hall of Famer. He is a legend. Not only just a legend in the NFL, he is a Radio Row legend. Gil Brandt, old silver hair, and he is the first person every year to show up at Radio Row. And I am telling you, Jim Rome thinks the Super Bowl doesn't start until he gets there. And I'm telling Jim, it doesn't start until Gil Brandt gets there.
Gil Brandt is an NFL voice that has been 78 years old my entire life.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Has Gil Brandt been 78 years old your entire life? Now, this goes back to Cowboys glory days. The first time the Cowboys were any good. They became these big, famous Dallas Cowboys, America's team, and it's when Gil Brandt was running the show at 78 years old. But he's still out there giving opinions. And on Twitter, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, his avatar is his Hall of Fame bust. If I'm not mistaken, it looks like Gil Brandt's Hall of Fame bust. If it's not, it's then Wade Phillips's Hall of Fame bust. I don't know that Wade Phillips is necessarily in the Hall of Fame, but the bust looks to me like Wade Phillips. How would you explain physically? Because he was available to everyone on Radio Row. Physically, what does Gil Brandt look like? Because he's very small and square as well as being 78 years old your entire life. But here is what he says on Twitter. And keep in mind, Stu Gotts, this is a lovable old man with many, many years of football expertise. And he writes, they should write an NFL self-help book on how to handle a rookie quarterback, and Brian Flores should author it. Now, he says that, and what happens in the comment section is a dumpster fire. Anything to back that claim? Dolphin season about to implode. I don't understand the move still. And then there's this, just yelling at him. He hasn't started a game. Let's see how effective it was after a few games. A bit too early, Brandt, to tell us on the returns and their handling. Andy Reid should author the book.
He's 87.
Leave Gil Brandt alone, Internet. He just gets on there with his Hall of Fame bust, and he tweets out something that's old football-y, and leave him alone. Like, you just attack him. You're piranha. All of you. He hasn't started a game. He shouldn't author the book. Andy Reid should author the book. Need I remind you what Stu Gotts said about Andy Reid authoring that particular book? Because it wasn't that long ago that Stu Gotts said of Andy Reid and the best quarterback any of us have ever seen. It wasn't that long ago that Stu Gotts said you simply cannot bench the 3 yards a throw of Alex Smith if you're any kind of intelligent Reed.
Go ahead, Andy Reid. I dare you to go 14-2 and allow Alex Smith to leave Arrowhead Stadium, to leave Kansas City. Go ahead, I dare you. Yeah. Because of Patrick Mahomes. Because you think you could turn Patrick Mahomes into something that Alex Smith is not. Alex Smith is a very good quarterback. The audacity, first off, to do this to Alex Smith, who's been very good and loyal to Andy Reid and won him a lot of football games, to dangle Patrick Mahomes out there because Andy Reid thinks he's some sort of quarterback whisperer, which he is not, by the way. He is not, because if he was, Alex Smith would be better than he's been the last few years. So I dare.
That's a record for country.
It's on Andy Reid.
The only reason Alex Smith is better than Andy Reid. That's a world record for Stu Gotts not paying attention to any of the things he said the sentence before.
I hate that sound. That is Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Man. Time for Dan to reluctantly take part in something that Stu Gotts couldn't be happy.
He's the best quarterback ever.
I don't know about ever. I mean, he's got one championship. Brady's got six. I mean, you're going to call him the best quarterback ever? Better than Aaron?
Dan Le Batard. We are what America needs. Another sports talk radio show.
Stu Gotts.
Let's laugh at the Jets.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Listen to every single pitch of the 2020 World Series right here on ESPN Radio. Coverage of Game 2 between the Dodgers and Rays begins at 7:30 Eastern.
Matt Moore wrote something for Action that I want to get to in a second, Stugatz, because I find it interesting, like super interesting. I don't know that I can say that there's anything more interesting in the NBA than what Matt Moore has written about at the moment when it comes to play on the court. But before we get to that, let us allow Christine Lisi, please, to continue.
And finally, men who can perform at least 40 push-ups in one attempt are much less likely to suffer from heart disease within the next 10 years, according to researchers from the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Either of you two, Mr. Olympias, back in the studio, want to give it a try?
Can we do that? I'd like to give that a try, actually. I think I could do 40 push-ups.
How
without
long?
Stopping.
I could do 40 push-ups
Christine,
without stopping.
Christine, a little aggressive, okay?
I'll do them right now. I mean, how about that?
But we don't have the studio set up to be. Maybe we'll do it. We'll do it on social media, and we'll figure out a way to do it. Thank you, Christine.
I'm just kidding.
I don't believe
you're
you. You're
not.
Cruel.
Mr. Olympia,
you're
Seth.
Cruel, and you've gotten meaner by the day around here.
So what did the former Dolphins backup quarterback write about the NBA?
Thank you, Christine. I appreciate it. Matt Moore for Action wrote the following.
Fan of the show, Matt Moore.
Which one?
The backup
quarterback?
Yeah.
Are they different?
They are different, yes. Matt Moore has not parlayed his backup quarterback career into writing for Action Sports about the NBA. But what he's writing about is the idea that Kawhi Leonard is more of a problem with the Clippers than you realize. And it's not for the nonsense that we get wrapped up in with chemistry or leadership or are you getting Paul George the max out of him. The problem as it relates to Kawhi Leonard and Stugatz, this happened pretty quick because he just won a championship and parlayed an unprecedented amount of free agent champion freedom into just building his own team with a tycoon in Ballmer who is building billions around him. And I don't know the shape of his body because with the Spurs for a year, it was a real problem, and then he had to go on a load management tour unlike any we've seen in the sports to protect his body, and then when they needed him most in the second round, his body didn't have much left. It was fine in terms of getting you 25, 7, and 5, but we were all laughing and pointing at Paul George, and it's like, hey, do what LeBron does, Kawhi. Can your body? Can LeBron's body at 35 is able to do a certain thing. Can your body do it? Carry it with Paul George. Anthony Davis is probably better than Paul George by a good amount, but Kawhi Leonard has been built around at whatever it is, 29 or 30 years old, like he's LeBron. And now we're talking about Ty Lue and a bunch of other things. And I'm wondering, the body, have we seen the best of what Kawhi Leonard is going to be? Like, it would seem so, right, Stugatz? It would seem we've seen his prime. He's not going to get better with that body, with all the things that have happened to that body that mean they have to protect it in an unusual way, and we have the unprecedented thing on his past and his resume, the Spurs one blemish of what happened to his body with you guys?
Right.
Like, what was happening between the fight on how he wanted you to treat his body and how you were actually treating his body?
I still think we'll see great Kawhi moving forward, but
as great is what I'm asking you. Well, I'm not asking you about great. I'm saying as great.
I mean, he was great just a year ago. He had 14 points in that last game against the Nuggets.
Stugatz,
right?
He didn't do anything to save their season at the end. Nothing.
I know. But the games leading up to that game, 25, 36, 30, 23 points. I mean,
Stugatz, he can be excellent without being as excellent. If he's not as excellent, you got a problem on your hands.
You do. I still feel like, I mean, damn, we're 1 year removed from the Raptors doing it exactly right and him having a legendary postseason.
That's
performance.
Correct.
I still think he could summon that up again. I do.
I think so, too. His body, he doesn't look like the same sort of explosive player that he was when he was with the Spurs, but he didn't look that way when he won Finals MVP for the Raptors. He just doesn't have the agility and the athleticism that jumps off the screen like it did in his younger days. He can't even get up there, but he was looking that way when he was arguably the best player on the planet last year.
Let me do it another way for you so you understand what we're talking about when you're in the LeBron James stratosphere. Yes, Kawhi Leonard is playing a strong man's game. The thing that people do not realize about James Harden, you realize it about LeBron, about James Harden, about Jimmy Butler, about Kawhi Leonard, they're stronger than the people they're playing against, physically stronger. And that takes a toll on the body unless it's LeBron's. He ain't LeBron physically. He's simply not that kind of... Stugatz, what I'm saying is that's the comparable burden in his own gym now. He chose to fight that guy in that city, in that gym for that city. And Ballmer's only got him for 2 years, and it's not going to get better. That body carrying that load, because he's not 270, 280. That body carrying that load, it's why I keep telling you guys, you're unfair to the way that you're watching LeBron in real time. It's hard what he does to be that indestructible. Look at what it's already done to Kawhi's body.
Yes, think of the great players of LeBron's era, the Kevin Durants, the Russell Westbrooks, the Kyrie Irvings, even the Steph Currys. They're dealing with injuries the way that he doesn't. He just doesn't get hurt, and he plays such a physical game, carrying all that weight around, charging to the rim at will. It's the most amazing thing about his excellence. Is that he stays on the court and you don't have one of these random series where you're like, we got him hurt. We have a shot.
Look at what one game did to Jimmy Butler. I mean, he turned into an old man afterwards. And I remember them asking LeBron, hey, do you feel like you wasted a legendary performance that game they lost against the Heat and Jimmy Butler? And LeBron was like, no, I'll do it again the next night. And he did.
It was two games. Take that away from Jimmy Butler. It was two games.
Time for Dan to reluctantly take part in something his two guys couldn't be happier doing.
I'd be scared if I were Ballmer because it's built on something flimsy. I'm not saying Kawhi flimsy. I'm saying 2 years flimsy.
Right.
They traded everything for 2 years. They're halfway into the project. Everyone hates Paul George, and now they've just changed coaches.
But it's worth it. I'm not going to be surprised if the Clippers win the title next year. Are you?
Well, but this is the thing. It's worth it, Scott. Mookie Betts has already paid his contract. Like, with making all of these little plays in the postseason if they win a championship. Like, he ends up being worth it right there. You got to win the championship,
though. They got to pay Harrell. They've mortgaged the future on this. No one in the locker room seems to like Paul George. No one in the locker room now, because all these things are leaking out about Kawhi's privileges. No one really likes Kawhi Leonard. I got Kawhi opting out and going to the Dallas Mavericks. That's a good move for him.
Don Lebatard.
I think in the future there's going to be an app where you could just get complete honesty from people.
Stugatz.
Even me?
No.
Oh.
Technology will never figure that one out.
This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. What's for Lunch is brought to you by HelloFresh. Get a total of $80 off using code Dan at HelloFresh.com.
It is funny that you mentioned lunch, Stugatz, and I want to tell the audience everything that's been going on around here, because Mike is in an amped up state right now. I asked the question during the break, okay? It was a simple question. We don't have time for any kinds of questions. We don't have time for food. We don't have time for anything around here because we're just belching out and burping out and farting out content, okay? So I asked what I thought was a simple question. You mentioned HelloFresh and lunch. I'm like, Stugatz, Mike, we're going to be here for a little while. Can I get anyone lunch? What I ended up getting was a cocaine-y bombardment of why it is that Stugatz and I do not have any time to eat anything because – we've got to stay on this moving train at 1,000 miles an hour.
You asked me if I wanted a wrap or a sandwich. I didn't get to answer. Mike answered for me. He said no.
All right, so let me just stop everything for a second. Let me just slow everything down for a second, okay? We owe ESPN some lookies here. Can you just do them now real quick here because we don't have time for anything. Can you just do the lookies right now because Mike is furious because we haven't had time to do the lookies. Can you do them real quick right now? Because this is important in 2020 that we do the tape thing of telling people what to look forward to tomorrow.
Hey, it's Stugatz. Join us Thursday. We'll be joined by Dick Vitale, Rays fan. How about that? And Ariel Helwani. Plus, there's an elephant living in my living room. That's Thursday in the Dan Le Batard Show with me, Stugatz, on ESPN Radio.
All right, that's one. Do you need to do another one of
those?
Yeah,
you need to also cover yourself in case something dramatic happens in tonight's
yes,
game.
Something okay. taped that is dramatic. So give the people a looking out so they can look forward to what's on tomorrow's show, because that's how people are consuming media these days.
Hey, it's Stugatz. Join us today. We'll be joined by Dick Vitale and Ariel Helwani, and you're not going to believe what happened in World Series Game 2. The Dan Le Batard Show with me, Stugatz, today, 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
All right, I want to listen. That's
my
good.
Favorite thing is when they run the wrong one of those because Mike Greenberg has taped something. You won't believe how Lamar Jackson ran roughshod over Patrick Mahomes last night because they ran the wrong one.
Whoops.
All right, so there's that. We've gotten that out of the way. We owe 40 push-ups here at some point on social media. You've got to do something for a gambling show here with a dartboard that, why did it fail? You taped it already, but it fell apart. What happened?
Because it landed. It was a wheel. It landed on the Ravens. There's a problem. The Ravens are on a bye week this week.
Okay, so
well,
we've
so
got a post-game show. All right, we've got a post-game show as well that we have to do here, but we only have so much studio time.
Yeah, and you still have to tell the people what's for lunch, which is content.
What's for lunch?
Well, I mean, content.
Mike, why don't you tell them
what's
I'm having
breakfast?
For lunch?
Content. What's for dinner? Content.
I have not gotten an answer to my question of what it is you guys would like me to get you for lunch.
Like for you to get behind a microphone and punch out some more content.
Luol Deng is still on the books for the Lakers, Stugatz.
What?
Yes.
Get out
They're paying him $5 million in 21 and 22.
But what's for lunch? Roy, do we have to tell people what we're having for lunch?
Yeah, we have to go around the Zoom and tell everybody what we're having for lunch. That is part of the deal.
I just told people what's for lunch. We don't have to go around telling people what's for lunch. I just told them. I did the lunch bit with a sponsored lunch bit.
Well, Dan, listen, Dan's having a wrap. Me and Mike are having content. You guys go ahead. I'm having HelloFresh when I get home tonight.
Hold on a second. We all have to go around the room. What's everyone having for lunch?
You know, we could have been done with this by now. Yeah.
We are done with it. We've been making content.
No, I don't know what Tony's having
it's
for lunch.
It's content brought to you by HelloFresh.
Tony, what are you having for lunch, Tony?
Thank you. I'm having a nice chicken breast with veggies.
Oh,
good. I think
nice.
We need to make this more conversational.
That's terrible.
Billy, what are you having for lunch?
I'm skipping lunch to update my resume, Dan.
Chris, what are you having for lunch? Are you getting tacos?
Somebody said Taco Bell earlier, and I have a rule. When I hear Taco Bell, I have to have it for lunch.
Nice. Roy, did you already give us your lunch?
No, I'm having HelloFresh leftovers, sweet and smoky pork tenderloin with apple carrot slaw, mashed potatoes, and cherry sauce. I mean, look at this.
Attaboy.
That one's good.
Can we just take 1 second to talk about how terrible Tony's lunch sounded? Like chicken breasts and vegetables? Like, good God, man.
Right? Chicken breasts and veggies.
Yes, for sure. That's the way to eat, Tony. Well done.
That's so much better than my reheated frozen pizza from yesterday that was left over.
No, it's not. It's not.
I'm having content.
Okay, join us on the post-game show where we'll just sit here and Stugatz throws darts at a board and tries to pick a team that's not on a bye this week.